Andy's working with me here. We got some hot monitors. Those monitors are hot. All right. Is it possible for me to go out in the grass without setting this thing off?
Give it a shot.
All right. I don't know how close I can get to that thing. All right, here we go. All right. So I can see most of you. There's a tent blocking a few of you guys. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm pretty stoked about the message this morning.
Not that I'm not stoked other mornings, but as I read this passage this week, it just kept getting more and more and more. I don't know if that's happened with you before, where the more you dig, the more gold nuggets you find, the more treasure you see. So this meant that would elect its leaders by a vote of the people rather than taking a position himself. He was later elected president, but you know, he did not assume that. In a sense, he laid down his crown so that America could have the best possible start. And this idea of laying down one's crown is found in Scripture. We've been going through the book of Daniel, and today we will be looking at chapter 4, if you're following along in your Bible. In one sense, chapter 4 is a crescendo in the first part of we've been following this character, King Nebuchadnezzar, and have now witnessed how he has seen several signs from God, and yet has not seemed to change what he learned. He had a vision that Daniel explained to him, and at the end of that, he says, Daniel's God is amazing. And then he goes on to make a big idol and demand that everybody worship that idol. And then Shadrach and Meshach refuse to do that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are thrown into a fiery furnace for their disobedience. And once again, he sees God come through and rescue them and the fourth person in the furnace. And yet he still seems to forget. We see here that he had forgotten and what he shares here in chapter 4. But what is interesting is chapter 4 is a strange chapter. If you are following along, who killed many people from Judah, destroyed God's temple. So if anyone was deserving of maybe God's displeasure or wrath, it would be this guy. Yet God goes to great pains to reach King Nebuchadnezzar. And we see that here in chapter 4. And the question this chapter poses to us is this. Are you willing to let go of your crown? Are you willing to let go of your crown? So read with me in Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to be reading this morning from the English Standard Version. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 37. So if it helps you to follow along, I encourage you to turn to chapter 4 of Daniel, verses 1 through 37. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. He's putting this in the Babylonian Times. This is the front page. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came before me, he who was named Belshazzar after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the earth. To the whole earth, sorry. Its leaves were bountiful, beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heaven lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said thus, "Chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him." The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will, and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw. And you, O Belshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, "Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you." Belshazzar answered and said, "My lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong so that its top reached to heaven and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves are beautiful and fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade, and whose branches the birds of the heaven lived. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 periods of time pass over him.' This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may be perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity." All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the Babylon. And the king answered and said, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence, and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like birds' claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right, and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. This is the word of the Lord. So we see in this passage that God will have our crown, but it's just a matter of how much pain and suffering we must go through before we're willing to give it up. Let's look at three questions that expand on the first question. Are you willing to let go of your crown when God disrupts your peaceful life? Second, are you willing to let go of your crown when God challenges you to change? And finally, are you willing to let go of your crown when God disciplines you? So first, are you willing to let go of your crown when God disrupts your life? Verses 1 through 18. We see in this first act of the narrative, King Nebuchadnezzar's peaceful existence is disrupted by a troubling dream. He starts off saying that he was in ease and prosperity in his palace when he had a vision that alarmed him. To make things more alarming, he looked for an interpretation of the vision, and no one was able to give it to him. The vision had an ominous tone of this great tree, which he seemed to understand had something to do with him being cut down. Whether it's seen a prophet on the street corner with a sign saying the end is near or coronavirus derailing your plans, God has a way of using our circumstances and pain to wake us up to the fact that something is not right with our relationship with him. When things get taken away and idols get exposed, you and I have begin to see that we have depended on other things than God. So the big question is, will this be enough for you and I to lay down our crowns and admit that he is Lord and that he is in charge? So what does it look like to lay down your crowns? Is it just taking that off and throwing it? What does that metaphor really mean? Well, we see it in the bookends of this chapter. If you look at the bookends, the first few verses and the last few verses, you see Nebuchadnezzar breaks into poetry or song. So like I was talking about the musical Hamilton, imagine this story. Nebuchadnezzar breaks into a song at the beginning and a song at the end. In verse 3, we see him saying this. He says, "How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation." And in verse 34 through 37, we see him saying the same thing, but now he's expanding upon that. He's saying that he praised and honored and extolled the King of heaven and the Most High. So let's see what these three lines say. "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation." That sounds like the first one, right? Now he adds more to the song. He adds a second verse. "All the inhabitants of the earth is nothing. He does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done?" And he goes on to say the whole point of this story in verse 37. He says, "For God's works are right, his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." If God is able to humble the most powerful man on earth who is oozing in pride and have him willingly say these things, what makes you think he is not able to humble you? So I ask again, are you willing to lay down your crown? This leads us to that second question. Are you willing to let go of your crown when God challenges you to change? Looking at verses 19 through 27. God will often start the process of our humbling by making us uncomfortable, but then he will bring forth an interpretation and a challenge. Daniel has heard the dream that no one could interpret, and now he gives King Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation. We see how Daniel's disturbed and cautious in his approach to this because it's not a positive interpretation for King Nebuchadnezzar, but rather it's a warning. The dream is saying that King Nebuchadnezzar will be humbled by going insane for 7 years and thinking he is an animal. Interestingly, the goal of this is to have him acknowledge that God is the one who gives power to kings. It is the goal of having him let go of his crown. Daniel ends his interpretation with some advice that we would do well to take into our own hearts. Verse 27 says, "Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity." A lot of times when God says something's going to happen, if people will turn from their ways, he will relent. Think of the story of Nineveh, right? He said to Nineveh, "I'm going to destroy this city in a certain amount of time." The Ninevites repented and God refrained from destroying the city. So even though this dream says this is going to happen to you, Nebuchadnezzar, if he would have turned from his ways, he could have prevented that. If he would have been willing to lay down his crown, then he would have not had to go through those 7 years. We get a glimpse here of the changes that happen when you and I are willing to lay down our crowns. Because that can be a bit of a metaphor and a thought. You say, well, I already am laying down my crowns. What does that mean, to lay down my crown? Well, Daniel first challenges King Nebuchadnezzar, break off your sins. And this means that we start to obey God's rules and stop making our own. We begin to practice righteousness. This means we move from being in right relationship with God and right relationship with others and right relationship with God's creation. We move away from the brokenness that we've been experienced before. We recognize we are not God and we are not the center of the universe. We stop expecting God to rotate around us and instead rotate around God. We love others as we love ourselves, and we move away from selfishness and pride. Those are all signs or fruit of someone who has laid down their crown willingly. And finally, Daniel challenged King Nebuchadnezzar to show mercy to the oppressed. So this idea of mercy is that when you and I see the mercy we've received from God, we are much more willing to show it to others. And if we are unwilling to forgive and show mercy to others, have we ever really experienced the mercy of God? Or have we forgotten what we've experienced? And what's interesting here is that Nebuchadnezzar was the oppressor. So it's recognizing that he was the problem and that his oppression of others must stop. So a question for you and I today is, have you recognized where you are oppressing others and moved towards making that right and showing mercy instead? And you might ask, how am I oppressing others? I'm not oppressing anyone. Well, let me just throw out some ideas here. We oppress others with our selfishness. We oppress others with the things we say to them. Rather than blessing them, we curse them. We oppress others with our attempts to control them and force them and make them to do our will. There are a million ways we can oppress others rather than serving them. So God has made you uncomfortable, and now he's calling you to change. The question before you is, are you willing to lay down your crown? Are you willing to lay down your crown? Moving on in the story, we come to the third question. Are you willing to let go of your crown when God disciplines you? Verses 28 through 33. You know, it's interesting that after King Nebuchadnezzar receives the interpretation of the dream and also the very specific call to change from God communicated via Daniel, he has no response. He doesn't praise Daniel. He doesn't do anything. It just says, and then it happened to him. And we find that 12 months pass, a whole year pass, yet God has not brought this judgment on him. He gives him a whole year to think about this, to change, to repent. You know, it's amazing how merciful and patient God is with us. God gives King Nebuchadnezzar a whole year to lay down his crown, and yet nothing happens. You know, sometimes we can get mad at God for his discipline, but if we take note, he has been shouting at us to turn off the path we were on for a while. You know, as you go on the roads in the summer here and we're coming into fall, maybe you've noticed road construction. And road construction warnings, they say detour or road construction 2 miles, road construction 1 mile, road construction half a mile, and then you start to see cones, and it will say, get into the left lane or the right lane because that lane is ending. You know, we can ignore that and keep going and plow through the cones and run off the bridge or whatever it is that's being constructed. But we can't say there was nothing warning us against that. You can keep going towards the removed bridge ahead, but there has been a warning. God brings discipline as a final resort to move us to a place of laying down our crowns. Do you see how merciful, how patient God is? He had every right to destroy King Nebuchadnezzar. This king had mercilessly killed God's chosen people and destroyed and desecrated God's holy temple. I can't think of a better way to get on God's bad side. Yet, instead of destroying him, God is going to great lengths to save him. In some ways, the discipline fits the crime. King Nebuchadnezzar becomes like a beast for 7 years. He loses his mind. One thing I notice here is we see the result of sin. Sin makes us beastly. Now, this is the first time beasts are used in the book of Daniel, but you'll find out later on in Daniel that there will be all these visions of beasts and how the nations of the world can be very beastly. So what does this mean to be beastly? Well, we see the result of sin when it makes us beastly. We make our own appetites in our own kingdom, our God. We become like the animals. When you and I learn to say no to our appetites and to follow God's ways, we become more like him. Our true humanity is only seen as we reflect the image of God rather than the beastly image of the flesh. So often the discipline from God is that he hands us over to our sin. He gives you and I what we're asking for. We say, God, I want you to leave me alone. And so he does. We say, this thing will make me happy. And he lets us run towards it and find the end thereof that's not going to make us happy. It's interesting how the ultimate destination of sin is beastliness. Proverbs says it well when it says that the prostitute reduces a man to a loaf of bread. Sin reduces us to an appetite. It makes us a consumable, and it consumes us. If you and I are not willing to lay down our crowns, we will become more and more beastly and given over to our appetites, to the damage of ourselves and the damage of others. A sad example of this is the cycle of addiction. Those who have lived with an addict see how it reduces a person to one appetite for which they will neglect all others. My question to you today is, what is your addiction? You might think addiction applies only to drugs, alcohol, or other substances, but addiction really is a worship problem. It is us thinking that our happiness, security, and life can be found in anything other than God, and us making an idol or God of that created thing. It might be work. It might be family, it might be pleasure, it might be money, it might be escape. Whatever it is, God will eventually hand us over to it, and the consequences of that discipline is meant to cause us to respond like King Nebuchadnezzar. Let's look what he did after this time of discipline. He was handed over to this for 7 years. And in verse 34, he says this, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever." Do you see what word disappeared here? It's the word king. He does not call himself king any longer. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar. He's laid down his crown. We saw in the account that he constantly refers to himself as king. But when he finally acknowledges that God is king, he no longer refers to himself as king. So today, where are you on this continuum? Has God disrupted your peaceful life? Has he moved you to challenge you to change? Are you in the midst of God's discipline and him handing you over to your sin? Or finally, has your reason returned to you and you've looked up to heaven and say, he's God, I'm not? Where are you on this continuum? Wherever you are in this process, the question is, will you lift up your eyes to heaven? and allow God to give you your reason? Will you bless him as the Most High, the King of Heaven, by letting go of your crown and casting it at the foot of his throne? Will you praise and honor him rather than yourself or the little gods to which you have offered praise and honor? So, what will it be? Are you willing to let go of your crown? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. We're going to close with a response song today. And it's "Bless the Lord, O My Soul." And if you look at the words of this song, it's very, very similar to what Nebuchadnezzar sang. The song he sang when he decided to cast his crown down, to let his crown go and let God be God, let God be king, and himself stop being king. And it's the same song I would encourage us to sing from our hearts this morning, looking up to heaven. It's great we're outside here. And say, God, you are king. I don't know where you are in this process. And maybe today is the day God has restored reason to you. Maybe you've been lost in a cycle of beastliness where you've just been living for yourself for some time. My heart would be that you would look up to heaven, that you would lay aside your crown and finally, maybe for the first time in your life, say, he's in charge, I'm not. So I'm going to pray and then the worship team is going to come up and lead us in this song. So let's close our eyes to pray. Lord, we thank you that you are so merciful, that you sought out a pagan king who destroyed Jerusalem, who was the worst of sinners. You sought him out to save him. It's much more than we would ever do. You are so much more gracious and merciful than we could ever imagine. And Lord, you're seeking each one of us right now. You desire us to finally, willingly lay aside our crown and acknowledge that you are in charge, that you are God, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to show that through our obedience, our right relationships being restored with you and others, and us stopping oppressing one another with our sin and selfishness. So Lord, we want to do that. Give us the strength by your Holy Spirit today to look up, to praise you and bless you and honor you with our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage us, let's stand, let's sing this song from our hearts. Let's cast aside our crowns. Let's lay aside our crowns willingly and acknowledge him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Well, let's just raise our hands as a benediction this morning. Go forth today, lifting your eyes to heaven and letting God return your reason and the image of God to you. Go forth choosing today to bless, to praise,